Let's read together John chapter 6, verses 30 through 40. Now, in these verses, we have the continuation of our Lord's bread of life discourse. John chapter 6, verse 30. Therefore they said to him, "What sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Let's consider some background notes, first of all. In the first part of John 6, we saw two of the well-known miracles of our Lord Jesus, the feeding of the 5,000 and the walking on water. Remember, these are two of the seven sign miracles in the Gospel of John. Following these miracles, the Lord gave a discourse known today as the Bread of Life Discourse. It was given in the town of Capernaum to many who had participated in the miracle of the multiplication of the loaves and the fish, as well as to the Jewish leaders who were there in Capernaum. In verse 30, we see that the people ask for a sign. Therefore they said to him, "What sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do?" A sign? What more do they want? They had just seen, and many had participated in the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. What more could you ask for? What would you have done at this point if you were in the position of our Lord? I think I would have said, "Oh, you want a sign, do you? I'll show you a sign. You unbelievers, here's some lightning from heaven," something like that. Well, it's wonderful to see the grace and the patience of our Lord here in dealing with these folks. In verse 31, when they say, "Our fathers ate manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat," then Jesus said to them, verse 32, "Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven." When they say there in verse 31 that our fathers ate the manna in the desert, they are implying that Moses was greater than Christ, because Moses brought bread out of heaven and the Lord had only multiplied existing bread. So now the Lord answers by saying that Moses didn't give the manna. God gave the manna. God fed his people in the wilderness, not Moses. Notice again verse 32, "Then Jesus said to them, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven.'" Furthermore, Jesus answered that God gives the true bread from heaven, which can feed the world. Verse 33, "For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." When they say in verse 34 that they would like to have this bread, the Lord reveals to them that he is the bread of life. Verse 35, Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." Well, that brings us then to our doctrinal points or teaching points for these verses. Doctrinal point number one, the world says seeing is believing. God says believing is seeing. The world says seeing is believing. God says believing is seeing. The Jews wanted a sign. They said, "Show us a sign and we will believe." Did you ever have a non-Christian say that to you? Hey, if I could see a miracle right here before my very eyes, I'd become a Christian right now. You ever have anyone say that to you? I have. The world says seeing is believing. The truth of the matter is that these folks wouldn't believe, even if they did see a sign. You remember in Luke chapter 16, the rich man said that he had five brothers and they would become believers if someone would rise from the dead. What was the answer that was given to him? The answer was no, they wouldn't believe. They have Moses and the prophets. That's the scriptures. If they will not believe the scriptures, they will not believe even if someone were to rise from the dead. The world says seeing is believing. God says believing is seeing. In John chapter 11 and verse 40, Jesus said to Martha, the sister of Lazarus, who had died, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" God says believing is seeing. You know, it's possible for us as Christians to fall into the world's way of wanting signs in order to believe. I remember a Christian friend of mine said to me, "You know, I wish every time I had some doubts in the Christian faith that God would send a great light across the sky to assure me." That's a dangerous trend. All right? Let's watch out. Let's be careful that we don't fall into the world's way of thinking. Remember, the world says seeing is believing. God says believing is seeing. Doctrinal point or teaching point number two. Eternal security of the soul is part of God's salvation package. Eternal security of the soul is part of God's salvation package. Verse 37. "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out." Verse 39. "This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me I should lose nothing." Verse 40. "And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life." These are great verses supporting the truth of the eternal security of the believer. If you really accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you cannot lose your salvation. You will not be cast out, verse 37. The Lord doesn't lose anyone, verse 39. You have everlasting life, verse 40. You don't receive everlasting life when you die. You have it now, if you're a believer. You can't lose everlasting life, or it's not everlasting. Notice, by the way, in verse 37, that we have a perfect blend of the sovereignty of God on the one hand and the responsibility of man on the other hand. Verse 37, "All that the Father gives me will come to me." That's the sovereignty of God. "And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out." That's the responsibility of man. The Bible has no problem harmonizing these two doctrines. You have a problem harmonizing those doctrines? Not always easy, but the Bible just puts it right out there. Sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man, right in the same verse. You can be sure that if you want to receive Christ as your Savior, you are one of the chosen. By the sovereignty of God, you are one of the chosen, one of the elect. And if you're chosen, you cannot lose your salvation. Eternal security of the saved is part of God's salvation package. Doctrinal point number three, resurrection of the body is part of God's salvation package. Resurrection of the body is part of God's salvation package. Verses 39 and 40, once again, "This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." The "it," by the way, of verse 39, "but should raise it up at the last day." The "it" here is the sum total of believers. No believer will miss out on the resurrection. Every believer will have a resurrected body. It will be a body like our Lord's glorious body. Philippians 3:21. God will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body. We will not be spirits floating around in heaven forever. No, we will have glorified bodies forever. You know, one of the greatest things about the glorified body is that we will not sin. The greatest thing about the resurrection body is not that we'll be able to defy gravity and travel faster than the speed of light and things like this, but we will be sinless. Won't that be great? I mean, that is something to look forward to. You think of how often in this present body you would want to worship the Lord and some bad thought comes into your mind, floats through, takes away your attitude of worship. Ever have that experience? The very time, like around the Lord's table this morning, you want to worship the Lord and something from the week goes by that you saw or whatever, and you wish you could cleanse your mind from those thoughts so that they wouldn't captivate you or whatever. Hey, the resurrection body, great to look forward to. Resurrection of the body is part of God's salvation package. Great package, right? Practical application from this section, the Bread of Life discourse. You can come close and still not be saved. You can come close and still not be saved. In verse 36, Jesus said to the people, "You have seen me and yet do not believe." These people that the Lord is speaking to here are not pagans. They are not atheists. They have come close, but they are not believers. They believe in God. They believe in Moses. They believe in the miracles of the Old Testament, the giving of the manna. No problem with that. They believe in the supernatural. They could quote the scripture. Verse 31, they quote the scripture. They address Jesus as Lord. Verse 34, they said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." Many of them participated in the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. And our Lord said to a similar group back in John 5 and verse 35 that they rejoiced in John the Baptist's ministry. John 5:35. John the Baptist was the burning and shining lamp that you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. But the Lord said that they were still unbelievers. You can come close and still not be saved. Is that possibly your position here today? You believe in God? You're not a pagan. You believe in the Bible? You can even quote scripture. You don't doubt the miracles of Christ? You don't doubt the miracles of the Bible? You might even refer to Jesus as Lord, but you still have not accepted Jesus Christ as the bread of life, as your personal Savior. You're just mouthing this word Lord. You haven't truly accepted him as your Lord, the one who died as your substitute on the cross, died for your sins. You need to receive Christ as your personal Savior. Remember, you can come close and still not be saved.